Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Capitals Face-Off Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Capitals Face-Off Podcast. I am your host, JJ Regan, the Capitals correspondent. With me today, he is the Ron Weasley to my Harry Potter. He is the Capitals insider, Tariq El-Bashir. Tariq.
Acceptable.
Except he has the glasses.
You want to hear a quick funny story before you introduce Jill Sorensen? Actually, introduce Jill, and then I'll tell you a funny story.
And... if I am Harry Potter, she must be our Hermione.
Love that girl.
She's the Capitals reporter.
Jill Sorensen. That girl.
Okay, so here's a funny story. So years and years ago, it was during the NHL lockout. I was assigned to cover high school sports in the DC area. No Capitals, nothing to cover. I mean, like, it was just, NHL was dark, and I had a great time doing it. I did it before that, and I did it a lot during that lockout. And one of my assignments one day was to go to West Potomac High School in Alexandria, the Fairfax part of Alexandria, and do a story on the football team. And I don't remember what the story was, but it wasn't good. It was like they hadn't won in a while or something.
Sorry, team.
Yeah. I think they rebounded the next year, but they were having a really rough stretch. And anyway, one of the kids I needed to interview was a really large lineman, and he was kind of sour. I don't know if it was about me or if it was about just the subject matter. And I wear glasses, as you guys know. And I think I had rounder glasses back then. And he literally called me Harry Potter in front of, like, the entire offensive line. And they all started laughing. And they're all, like, 6'5" and, like, 300 pounds. Yeah. So what am I going to do? You know, I'm in their locker room. I was like, yeah, Harry Potter. Yeah. Cool.
Should have challenged him to a 40-yard dash.
I might have been able to take him if I could have stayed on my feet. These are offensive linemen we're talking about.
You could have used your Quidditch stick.
My Quidditch stick.
Quidditch stick. All right. Well,
people actually play Quidditch.
Broom. I know,
and it's.
We used
hilarious.
To have Sam, who it's, used to work
weird.
Here. She
yes.
played.
Yes. Yes.
Sam Medney, what's up? Shout out.
Today on the podcast, we're going to take a deeper look at the players the team has lost this offseason, and we're going to open up the mailbag. But first, guys, did you do anything fun for the 4th of July? I know, Jill, you were on vacation for a little while.
I was at the beach, Fenwick Island. It was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot. I had a family barbecue at my parents' house.
Taco Bell.
No, actual barbecued food. It was cool because there were some extended family. The highlight of my weekend, however, was, and I should have taken a video of this, when we came home on the 4th, we live in Virginia where fireworks are legal. Literally every person on my block, I mean, like 10 straight houses were like in their driveway exploding stuff.
That's great.
Like I regretted it right away. I was like, I just need to get out of park my car in the garage, get out my phone and just walk. I mean, there must have been 15 things going off at once. I mean, it was almost like comical. Like it was like, really? Everyone's got
take
stuff?
Advantage of it, man.
Well, funny you should say that, Tariq, because I went to a wedding in Pennsylvania over the weekend. And so, of course, Pennsylvania is a place where the real fireworks are illegal. Yeah.
What's the G name? A G last name, Italian name. They're the big Italian fireworks people there. Anyway, sorry, tangent.
Anyway, so, you know, right before you hit Maryland, there's this giant warehouse.
Sure.
And so, of course, I stopped.
Yeah.
And that's it.
The G.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
G something.
I, on 15,
well,
right?
The Eddie at the
The
end.
One I got was Phantom.
Jabretti.
I went to Phantom. Shout out, I guess. But, anyway,
you want to send us some sparklers.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the place is packed too. packed and people are getting excited. And so I stock up because I can't do the Virginia fireworks anymore. I the sparklers don't do it. I'm very much of the opinion that you should celebrate the birth of your country by blowing up a small piece of it. So
like M80s.
So I get, and you know, I when I get outside that night on July 4th, I'm hearing the little dinky ones down the street. And so I get out this mortar and it shakes the neighborhood. It's going off so bad. And so at one point we get a rocket. I stick it in the ground and I light it and it goes off and it catches, but it's not coming out of the ground. And I'm sitting there, uh-oh, because that means it's going to explode. Oh, no. Finally, it releases and goes up, but it's only going up about halfway. It's barely going up at all. So I dive on top of my wife, my pregnant wife.
I was going to say, carefully.
Dive on top of her. There's an explosion. Everybody's fine. And she just looks at me. She's like, I'm done. I'm going into the house.
Yeah.
And so I had
Smart
to
woman.
Explode them all by myself, which
Smart
I did
woman.
Happily.
By the
anyway,
way, it's a Z, Zambelli.
Zambelli.
There you go.
I thought it was a G.
All right, so let's get into hockey.
I'm glad that you're here, JJ.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was...
That would have been tragic.
So few people in this office say that to me.
Seriously, I mean, that scares me. Like, that stuff legit scares me.
And then I would have to host the podcast from now on.
I know, and would you be able to come up with those pithy nicknames?
Nope.
Okay. All right, so for today's podcast, I figured... We know that the Capitals lost a bunch of players, but a lot of people aren't talking so much about the impact. We're talking about who they lost, but not what it may mean. So I thought we would take a deeper dive and look at the players the Caps lost and what that may mean for the upcoming season. So we're going to start with Marcus Johansson. He was traded away to the New Jersey Devils for a second and a third round pick. Clearly a salary dump. They needed to afford Evgeny Kuznetsov's new contract, and so that now means that Marcus Johansson is a New Jersey Devil. So, what will his loss mean to the team next year?
Well, it's going to hurt them on the power play. It's going to hurt them at even strength. Johansson, 26 years old, was kind of coming into his own. You know, he had a career year last year, had some big games in the playoffs, scored some of those hard, dirty goals in front. I think there was a little bit more there still. And the Capitals were backed into a corner because of, they're in salary cap hell. As Brian McClellan said, I mean, they are having a Stanley Cup hangover without the Stanley Cup, which is, probably,
sucky.
Yeah, probably, yes, sucky. That's a very good way. That's a pretty good way of putting it in one word.
I stole it from Ovechkin. It sucks.
It's true.
Yeah.
The Capitals they explored the trade market for Johansson around the draft. They weren't able to find any takers, according to a source that I spoke with. They tried to protect him. They tried to protect Nate Schmidt by offering him to Vegas. No takers. They knew that they were going to run into salary cap situations, and he was the odd man out. And I think it's going to hurt the Capitals, especially when you combine it with the loss of Justin Williams. It's 48 goals right there. You're going to have to account for somewhere. And if you think that's going to be made up by Devontae Smith-Pelly and Jake Varana, I got some bad news for you. It probably won't be.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at numbers like that, then you go, okay, well, we'll tighten it down defensively. Well, guess what? They were the second best team in the league last year in terms of, or no, number one in the regular season in terms of goals allowed per game. So there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there on defense. That's the question, is where are the goals going to come from? And, it's a long-winded way of saying Marcus Johansson is going to be sorely missed at evens and on the power play, and they've got their work cut out for them to try and figure out how to replace him.
I couldn't agree more. And I think from a, you guys know me pretty well, but now I like to look at, the intangibles. And this is a guy who signed a contract before the season, goes out and has a career year. And you just don't see that a whole lot. You see career years in a contract year, and he's eager to please. He can also, let's not forget, he can also play center.
Yes.
Which they
came up as a center. Yeah.
You know, they did use him as
can play so both wings, and he's fine.
Can play both wings. Yeah. He's so adaptable. He's adaptable no matter what line he plays on. He does go to the dirty areas. He's willing to pay the price. And he's just one of those guys that everyone just gets along with in the locker room. And
coachable, got better.
Yeah, he's just 24 goals. Yeah, where are you going to find the goals from? That's going to be tough. But here's a guy who came up through the organization, just gave what he could every single season, including after he signed his first, quote, big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'll miss his bike riding with Nicholas Backstrom in the Olympics. But he's a somewhat underrated player in
Dear
that.
Abigail.
Dear Abigail.
No more of those memes.
You will be sorely missed.
I think in some ways he was an underrated player in that a lot of what he did in the neutral zone. He was a great puck mover, a great puck carrier. He was the guy on the power play who was really in charge of getting the puck into the offensive zone. And that is something that is an important part of the power play, because sometimes you just have teams who just stack the blue line and dare you to get in. And he was always a guy who was able to get the puck into the offensive zone. And he's a guy that is so geared toward today's game, a fast player, a skilled player. And even a lot of people had criticism about how he didn't want to get those dirty goals. He didn't want to fight for net front presence. Now, when he left, a lot of people are saying, how are the Caps going to find that net front presence in their second line now that Marcus Johansson is gone? It's quite a turnaround for him. I think they're definitely going to miss him a lot. Very productive player for them. Let's go to the second player on that second line who the Capitals will be missing next year, Justin Williams. He was signed to a two-year deal with the Capitals originally. They signed him for his veteran leadership. He was a guy who always seemed to win everywhere that he went. And his production, he was a productive player, but I think the amount in which he produced with the Capitals was a bonus for them. I don't think they anticipated him being quite as productive as he was. So now you lose that. A team still searching for its first Stanley Cup. Now you've lost Mr. Game 7. Mm-hmm. How big of a loss is that?
That's, if I go to the intangibles, remember against Toronto in the first round series, it was him and Marcus Johansson who brought them through that game with the Austin Matthews crazy bounce goal.
Yep.
And that's obviously what they brought him in for. So they're not going to have that leadership. You're right. The offensive production was a bonus, but this was a guy who was able to have those tough conversations with teammates and say, you know what, dude, that's not going to cut it right now. Or, hey, maybe think about this. Or, you know what, you're a little down right now. Let's bring it up. Let's not bring the room down. I know you're having a tough time. Let's not bring the room down. You'll fight through this. Look, I did it when I was your age.
Yeah.
You can do it too. These are things that, you know, Brooks Orpik can bring that. And certainly as guys grow older, they'll bring that, and they hopefully have learned from Justin Williams as well. But that's tough to get. And obviously Carolina sees that as invaluable given the contract they gave him.
Yeah. $4.5 million per year. That's a
good
sizable
for him.
Contract.
$5 million this year and $4 million next. That's actually a significant raise over what he earned here. It was 3.25 each of the 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and in addition to the intangibles, Jill, are the tangibles.
Yeah.
The 24 goals.
Yeah.
Sorry to kind of belabor the point, but you know, the intangibles are going to hurt and the tangibles are going to hurt too.
Yeah.
Again, that's a
How
lot.
How about the faceoffs? Like just on the faceoffs, as far as being one of the first wingers to that puck on a lost faceoff to turn it into a win.
Yeah. And he was also, you know, they also employed, especially on the power play on the right side, he would take faceoffs.
Yeah.
And he was really good at that too. I mean, those are little things there. But you add up all those little things, you start getting into big absences, and I think you're definitely going to miss those two guys, and that goal production is not going to be easily replaced. And you know, as I said a minute ago, it's not like you can say let's allow fewer goals; we'll just do it that way. You're already the best in the league at that,
yeah.
So there are going to be a lot more close games next year, a lot less margin for error.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hey, it's going to be more exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know, the 5-2 wins, back-to-back 5-2 wins, mm-mm, and 5-0 wins, we're not seeing that again. It's going to be a lot of 3-2 games.
One way or another. Yeah. Edge your seat, fans.
And, you know, it just means that the young kids are going to have to be inch perfect, you know, to get it done. And Barry Trotz and his assistant coaches, he's got some great assistant coaches. They're going to be doing a lot of teaching next year. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, you saw the Penguins had a version of Justin Williams and Chris Kunitz, except Chris Kunitz was older, more expensive, and less productive. So the Capitals really had a steal in Justin Williams, considering what he provided to that team. So he's someone who's going to be sorely, sorely missed. Someone who's definitely going to be missed because he has seemingly thrown the entire offseason into disarray is Nate Schmidt, selected into the by the expansion draft to Las Vegas. Nate Schmidt is now gone. A rising, I don't want to say, maybe star.
Single tier.
Yeah.
I don't want to say star, but definitely a rising player within the organization. Someone who was going to take on a top four role next year. How will his loss be as significant as the fan base seems to think it will be?
I think that here in D.C., regardless of the sport, we have a tendency to build players up and maybe overvalue them to a certain extent. I think there's a little bit of that with Nate Schmidt. I think he's a fine player who is ascending. But the gap between good, between adequate and good and very good and great, you know, each one of those there's a huge jump to make. And I think he was going to make he was poised to make the jump from adequate to good. And I think there are people here who think that the ceiling was very good, you know, for him was very good, and I tend to agree with that. I saw a young player who there was a lot more there. But until you go out and you do it over the course of 82 games, you never really know. Given the fact that you were losing Alzner and Shattenkirk, and now they're also losing their what would have been their number four defenseman, now if they don't go out and get a player in the second and third waves of free agency, you're talking about Niskanen and Orlov, fill in the blank, Carlson, Orpik, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And that's an 18-minute player and a 14-minute player. Mm-hmm. I can deal with Madison Bowie getting 13-14 minutes playing with Brooks Orpik.
Chorney?
Who's going to do it?
Serviceable.
Yes.
I mean, they signed him for a reason.
Yes, I do not want to overlook Taylor Chorney.
Yeah.
I think there was also a reason that he didn't play a whole lot last year. And this is the same coaching staff with the same, you know, ideas coming back. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But if you're going to have to shoehorn a prospect with no NHL experience into that number four spot next to John Carlson, growing pains.
Yeah, there will be some growing pains, but I think we're getting off topic. But that's the fun of being a fan, is watching your team grow, watching it develop. As far as Nate Schmidt goes, I agree. I think ascending is a great way to describe him. I saw a very big ceiling, and I think from a very high ceiling, from the standpoint that he was so coachable, and in just talking to Todd Reirden and the specific things that he worked on with Nate, that literally I would talk to Todd at a practice, and he would say, I was working with Nate on XYZ. The next game, I would see Nate do XYZ. Like to a T, to perfection. There were probably other times he tried to do XYZ and, you know, lost the puck, made a mistake, etc. But I think from that standpoint, he wasn't necessarily given the opportunity to be a regular player. I mean, the Shattenkirk trade, yes, but there were some other times where he was sitting. And I think given the chance to be completely regular over an 82-game season, I think we would have seen a terrific player.
Nate Schmidt, the favorite son of the analytics crowd. The mistakes were there, but he was a growing player, to be sure. Any discussion of Nate Schmidt, I think, is incomplete unless you bring up the fact that he wasn't completely trusted by the coach. Well, trusted may not be the right word, but he was someone who, if you take a deep dive into the analytics, you saw that he was getting primarily offensive zone starts because I don't think they were ready for him to be a top defensive guy yet. But the talent was there. The potential was there. And if he turned into the player that we saw in the playoffs for 82 games next year, that's a very solid top four defenseman. He's someone that they're going to miss a lot because there's, especially because there's no set replacement for him on that top four. Now they have a hole in their top four because Nate Schmidt isn't there. So that is significant.
Let's also not forget that he was an RFA and was due a raise.
And is going to arbitration now.
Is going to arbitration,
Vegas.
But where would he have, how would they have swung
that? Fit that in,
Imagine if you now had to go for, you know, Nate Schmidt going from, I forgot what he made previously, but it wasn't $1 million, to 2.5 plus. This team is already up against it. They got $4 million with five players left they need to sign. Imagine if they had Schmidt. I mean, that's, you know, you want to have a top four defenseman.
Right.
But, I mean, how
that's
are you,
really
you going
to
flesh out your
that's
roster?
Where,
yeah,
that's where
you make that second trade. Yeah.
A John Carlson, you know, maybe get two defensemen in return for somebody of Carlson's caliber, if you will.
Right.
And let's not forget, like, who is going to be smiling nonstop in that locker room?
It may be a more drab place. Let's move on to another defenseman who is gone, Carl Alsner. He signs with the Montreal Canadiens, signed a very good deal with the Montreal Canadiens. He's a guy who we will definitely miss as the media because he was a guy who was great to work with and to talk to. But he was a guy who, for much of the season, I thought it became clearer and clearer that there probably wasn't going to be as significant a role for him on this team next year. I think in today's NHL, they're looking more for the Nate Schmidt type of players than the Carl Alsners. It's good to have one of those guys on your team, but considering the raise that he got from Montreal, that's not a deal the Capitals could really afford.
No, they couldn't afford that. There's no way.
No, they would have been over now. Yeah. I mean, you can go 10% over in the offseason, but eventually you're going to have to get under.
Yeah. And from an Alsner standpoint, he, you know, no one said this at the time, but he wasn't 100% for a big part of the season after having the off-season surgery. And he knew that, and he was frustrated with it. They tried to work with him on it. Obviously, he had the game streak. He wasn't right in the playoffs, as we know. So he struggled a bit in that realm. And I feel bad that he did, that it was a contract year, that he struggled with the team that brought him up. And But it turned out great for him. I think that he was very excited about Montreal and the prospects of playing there and playing for a GM like that there. And as far as what they're missing, you know, they're missing a stay-at-home defenseman who was looking to try to get some more offense, didn't succeed this year. He was doing better 2 years ago. He really took that role and was trying to add more offense. I think the injuries really hurt him this year. He just wasn't able to do what he wanted to do, and hopefully he will in Montreal.
He's going to have a big adjustment when he gets up there because you can't do the kinds of things that you can do here. He's a very private guy who likes to kind of blend.
Admittedly so.
Yeah, and he likes to blend into the scenery a little bit. Up there,
not so much.
I mean, if you roll your window down in traffic, people are running up to get autographs. I mean, they know who you are. They know how you played last night. You're going to hear about it if you had a turnover that cost them against the Leafs. I mean, you're going to hear about it on the talk radio on the way to the rink. You're going to hear about it from the usher. You're going to hear about it from the dude panhandling in front of the Bell Center. I mean, it is hockey. I mean, that's all that town is about, really. And it's going to be an adjustment period for him and for his wife and for a couple that are kind of private. But I think from a professional standpoint, when you have the opportunity to play for the Yankees or the Canadiens or, I mean, you have to do
it. Patriots.
A landmark franchise.
Yep.
You got to give that opportunity. I talked to him before he left, and, you know, he had some offers from other teams. You know, he had a chance to kind of shop around. He said it wasn't nearly as much fun as people make it out to be. He said it was a little nerve-wracking.
The privacy thing, he probably said the same thing to you. It was like, I just didn't like being asked all those questions. Like, I had to go through interviews. I hadn't interviewed in how long? All of a sudden, I had to be interviewed. Like, it was so weird.
Yeah.
It's funny to think about the interview process.
You would think, having played that many games in the league, they would, your resume would speak for itself. It'd be hockeyreference.com, right?
Right.
Do you answer questions about your home life?
Yeah. Right.
But
it sounded like they ran the gamut.
When you're investing that kind of money, I mean, you kind
of have a lot of money. Yeah. The Caps are going to miss him on their penalty kill. They're going to miss him in shutdown situations because he was one of their best shutdown defensemen. But I maintain, I've said this all offseason, they're going to have Brooks Orpik in their top six next year. You can't have both Carl Alsner and Brooks Orpik in your top six in this day and age.
In 2017.
Yeah. You can't afford it. Let's go to another defenseman that the team lost. The rental, Kevin Shattenkirk. I think this was a move that most people expected, especially when he was brought in, especially knowing that he was going to be one of the top free agents on the market. And knowing, especially the background of when he was brought in, I think it was about a month before he was traded to Washington, there was a trade in the works with Tampa Bay that included a massive extension for him, and he turned it down. So you knew kind of what the price range was going to be, and you knew that was pretty much out of the Capitals' price range, but still a significant loss considering his talent level. He maybe didn't live up to it here, but you know, it's hard to do that in a month's worth of hockey with a new team, to learn on the fly like that. Significant loss for the Caps, or
I don't count it as loss. Yeah. He was a bonus. Mm-hmm. He was the cherry on top. I mean, he was the guy who was supposed to get them over the hump. I just don't. When you're looking at the architecture of this roster, you don't count as him as being a subtraction from the foundation, the way like an Alsner is, right?
Right.
He was taking the fancy, front window off the structure. It wasn't like subtracting, like, you know, a brick that was holding the structure.
This is up.
Where am I
great
going with
metaphor
this analogy?
Here. Metaphor. This is going well.
Yeah. So right. Yeah. no. So he's not going to be.
He's not going to be that extra brick on the side of the wall of the house that's still standing.
He's not going to be the shutters
That was never
bay
in the
window.
Blueprint. That was never in the blueprint.
There you go.
Yes.
And they brought him in. It was never
you,
in
Jill.
The blueprint.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. So that was that. And you're right. So it's not a huge loss. It was you simply took the cherry off and you move on with the rest of the Sunday. I think.
Wow,
you know,
the metaphors.
I like it.
They're flying.
Another guy who's moving home to a flagship franchise. I'm curious to see how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Took less money to go there too.
He did. I mean, he even said,
about it.
It's a team he grew up, watching at the Garden. It's the team that, I guess every player has that team that they cheered for or dad cheered for, and that's the one you want to play for at some point. And
or half the United States cheers for. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the lights are bright on Broadway, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of media scrutiny there. There's a lot of extra demands in your time there.
Good restaurants for him.
A lot of great restaurants. He is a foodie. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this. The two buildings you want to play in as a hockey player, Verizon Center is cool, but Bell Center and the Garden are two of the really special places. And he'll now call the Garden his home.
Yeah.
The first player guest of the Capitals Face Off podcast. So we will.
And the
him.
Only player guest.
We've
right?
had. No. Now we've had TJ Oshie and Nate Schmidt on the podcast.
Go. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tarek.
Jill, actually. You landed both of those
yes,
interviews.
I know. But anyway. One more loss we expect. It's not official yet, but Daniel Winnick has not signed. I think there was perhaps potential if before the Devontae Smith-Pelly signing, but especially with him, there's no need for him now on that fourth line. So I anticipate he will be gone. A guy who was brought in the Brooks-like trade, he was brought in essentially to shed that salary off the Caps' books, but still provided something on the ice, so that was a bonus. The fourth line guys are often overlooked. How significant will his loss be?
I don't I don't think it's incredibly significant, except from the standpoint that this was a guy that, like, let's Jay Beagle got used to playing for or playing with for a couple years now. And that's big, as you guys know, on the fourth line to have some chemistry where you can actually create some offense and create some production is a big deal to get that from all four lines. So I think that it hurts in that way, but they were already hurt because of the way the lineup situation happened in the playoffs where they had 7D and it was just Beagle and Winnick. They had no chemistry with anybody yeah. because it was a rotating wing and all of a sudden they were playing 8 minutes. So from that standpoint, that's why I say it's not going to be a huge loss. They, you know, they were already dealing with that. Now Beagle just has to find two new guys. I guess Smith-Pelly will be one. Yeah, two new guys to develop chemistry with. But that's his wheelhouse. Jay will take whoever he's playing with. They get together as a committee. They figure out who they're going to be, and they go be it.
Play some Mario Kart.
Play some Mario Kart with Kessel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, good penalty killer, but. You know, not someone that I think the team will miss significantly.
He did have a career year goals wise last year.
Yeah,
and he did. The experience.
Everyone comes here to yeah. the Caps and has a career year. Like that's what they do, right?
Career regular season.
Regular. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was saying he's still looking for his first playoff goal, but I'll tell you the experience factor. A lot of experience walked out the door, and I think people shouldn't overlook that.
That's a good point.
That'll be another interesting thing to kind of track. You know, bringing in youth is great, but losing experience hurts. So, see how that turns out.
Wah, wah.
So, those are a lot of significant departures leaving in this offseason. We'll have to see how the Caps put it all together in the next season. But for now, let's move on to the mailbag. We got questions.
That was depressing, by the way.
I know.
I need like a Kleenex.
By the way, I know Daniel Winnick didn't like his nickname.
So you're gonna reveal it?
Winnipedia.
Yeah.
Because he knew a lot. He was a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
I loved it. He didn't like it, but I know it was good.
Also, a player who lost part of his ear, although that was a bit over exaggerated.
It was.
But he did take that puck right off the ear.
Yeah, he did.
Which was a fun... I mean, once we found out he was okay, it was a fun little story for a little while. Because I remember they came back from that road trip, and we were all crowding around his stall to get a look at his ear.
Yeah, that's
you could tell he was kind of like, why is everyone looking at my...
Right.
Anyway.
And also, now I won't be calling him Taylor, since I spent half the season calling him Taylor Winnick. I called him by his wife's name on a regular basis. Nice. I am going to miss Taylor, though. We had some good stories together.
Yeah.
She kept me in touch with what they were all doing, all the wives were doing.
She was the leader of the pack.
She was.
All right, let's move on to the Capitals mailbag. We've got some great questions for this podcast. Let's see. Let's start with Brad Krakowitz. Hey, guys. Love hearing some different insight during this abysmal offseason. Wow, he goes straight into it. Was GMBM's plan thought out at all? I've been critical of this too, in that it seems like most of the offseason has been reactionary rather than proactive, you know, but a lot of this also, we don't get the behind the scenes look of all the moves that they tried to make. Like Tarek, you said, a lot of people were wondering why they didn't trade Johansson to Vegas to protect Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
But Tarek comes out and says, well, they tried. They were trying everything they could do to protect Schmidt. Mm-hmm. So they kind of saw what was going on, and it just worked out that the trades weren't there, the markets weren't there,
right.
Everything, all their contingency plans weren't there. I think going in, we all thought, all right, they're going to lose Nate Schmidt or Philip Grubauer. If they lose Nate Schmidt, okay, trade Philip Grubauer for that top four defenseman. The only problem is that all of a sudden, for the first time ever in the history of the NHL, nobody needs a goalie.
Nobody needs a goalie.
It's like in the NFL, if all 32 teams, I think it is? All 32 teams all of a sudden don't need a quarterback. When does that ever happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a confluence of events that worked against the Capitals. I think, you know, there was the cratering of the trade market before the expansion draft. There was the misread of what George McPhee was going to do. I think most people around the league thought he was going to stockpile goaltenders. Instead, he stockpiled defensemen. That caught a lot of people off guard. And then there was the players electing to not used the whole 5% escalator, which would have brought the cap over $77 million. Instead, it stopped at $75 million. And, you know, teams that were planning on those extra couple million bucks didn't get them. And, I mean, imagine if they hadn't kicked in the escalator at all, the cap would really be in trouble. So, I don't think you can heap all of this on the team. You know, saying they were unprepared is probably overly simplistic.
They had a
there
plan.
Was a lot. They had a plan.
And they had and a worst case scenario plan, and probably the worst case scenario plan happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, just about.
And you know, if there was one thing this team did wrong, it was not win the Stanley Cup. I mean, they did everything. Everything they did the previous 24 months was to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And when they didn't win the Stanley Cup, it was like, oh, crap, guys. Now we have to go to plan B.
Yeah.
Roll it out. And then plan B was it was well thought out, but it maybe didn't, like you said, Jill, didn't account for worst case scenario in every single scenario, which is kind of what happened.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck with, you know, a team that still has a very good core and I think still should make the playoffs quite easily, but just isn't going to be as dominant as Caps fans are used to. I think this team is still the third or fourth best team in the East and should breeze into a playoff spot.
Sure. I just like the prospect of being able to see young guys. It's been a while since we've seen young guys thrown into the fire on a regular basis. And I think that's fun for the fan base to see. I know another team who won doing that. So,
on that note, he also wants to know, is it a good idea to let Juice and Bowie both see significant NHL time this year?
No.
It's not ideal.
Not ideal.
Not ideal, but you have no choice.
I think, you know, getting both of them some experience is necessary, and I think it's going to happen. I think if there is any way to mitigate the prospect of having two rookies in your six, they need to explore.
Chorney.
And yeah, sorry. Chorney. Yeah. Either Taylor Chorney or you find a way to fit.
Yeah.
You know, you wait for someone to fall out of the tree come August 1 and you sign them real quick. So
yeah. Or January 1, like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you don't know. Maybe at that point you're like, okay, we tried these guys. We've given them each, you know, 20 games, whatever it is.
No doubt. Jill.
Now it's not looking so great. Let's get a Ron Hainsey.
And I do think at some point this season, somebody is going to need a goalie, and the Capitals are probably going to be the first phone call that people make
because
they have that goalie in tow. And last year's Capitals team probably wouldn't be interested in letting Philip Grubauer go. This year, not nearly as deep. They may be willing to listen more so than they have been in years past.
Yeah.
Last thing, does signing Thomas Vanek to be our second line right wing make sense? It does. Well, arguably, if they had any money, the Capitals
don't
have any money.
I was going to say, what's the price? What's the price?
And at this point, also
is he paying the Capitals?
I will pay you $300,000 to sign me.
Can we structure a deal where he gets paid per goal?
Right. At this point, defense is the bigger need. I don't see them spending money for forward at this point. Thank you for your question, Dan H. Oh boy. Should the Capitals trade Ovechkin?
Oh, I... No! Come on, I thought we were past that.
I think sometimes people get the idea of the NHL that it is the stock market. And you need to sell off all your assets when the price is at its highest just to yield the biggest return. The problem is if you do that, then you never have a good team because you sell off all your best players at the first possible opportunity. No, they should not trade Ovechkin. No, they should not trade Backstrom. And no, they should not trade Holtby. There are other assets that if you want a major shakeup, there are other players that you can trade. But I'm not trading the three best players on this team. Those guys, I wouldn't, unless you really... Unless Edmonton comes and says, we'll give you Connor McDavid for Alex Ovechkin. And it's also not as simple as that. You have to
find... I would do that trade.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But you have to find a team that could fit Ovechkin's cap hit. And it's hard.
It's a non-starter. And for all the Caps fans out there, and I love you guys. I really do. But for all the Caps fans out there who've wanted change, who've been asking for change... You're getting changed.
Yeah.
Now. You know, you're getting changed. The core has been shook a little bit.
Yeah. Five guys that were in game seven are gone.
Absolutely. I mean, Justin Williams gone. Marcus Johansson gone. Yeah. Carl Alsner gone. That core that everyone has said has been holding this, it's shook. It's different now. Maybe it's time to embrace some change here. You can't have it both ways. You can't say blow up the core, wait a minute, but not that way.
Right.
It's, you know, you wanted it blown up. It got blown up. Maybe not in the most controlled and ideal way, but it's blown up and it's different. Let's see what happens.
Thank you for your question. Moving on to Brad Beister. If this, well, first I got to read the praise. First off, great podcast. I look forward to it every week. Thank you very much. If the season goes well, do you see the Caps re-signing Carlson and try to win with the core? I think they're certainly going to try to re-sign Carlson because he's a good player who you don't want to just see walk away. But, I mean, what are we talking about here? They know they're already going to try to win with the core. That's why they didn't blow things up. Right?
And he's got another year on his contract. Mm-hmm. And look, I think that the team, based on the year he had last year, is probably okay with seeing him play out at least the first few months before figuring out what direction they want to go in. And I think he knows he can play better. And this is going to be the first huge contract of his career in his late 20s. And he's going to want to make sure he maximizes that opportunity. So, I mean, short of a trade to get more play, I don't see him as a guy you'd want to part with. I mean, they need another top four defenseman. We don't need to subtract.
Yeah.
Then you would need two top four defensemen.
Right.
Now, if you can parlay John Carlson into two, maybe you consider it, but I don't see that.
But because changing. We're on the worst case scenario track, that will never happen.
No.
You know?
Right.
Maybe in a good summer, but this seems to be a sad trombone summer.
If it goes poor and another first or second round exit, do you think major changes will happen next offseason?
I'm not
yes.
Sure. Yeah, I would say Jill, I agree with you 100%. I don't think we'll even see it make it till next offseason.
Good point.
I think if things are looking bad in late February, they might get an early start.
Yeah.
And you might see some big names on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they're in that retool kind of in between phase.
Yeah.
If this team craters for some unforeseen reason, I don't think they will. I think the core is still strong enough to get this team into the playoffs, middle of the pack, upper middle of the pack. But if for some reason they're scuffling, they're at the bottom of the East or something, and you know things are looking dire, I don't see them waiting until the offseason.
Yep.
I see them moving some maybe a top player, a couple of top players for some of those first round picks they don't have.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, and starting a real rebuild. But let's get there first.
That's and that's tough too because the timing on that isn't it. It's a little crazy. It's like, all right, are we just in a slump? Has it been a trend? Has it been, do we do it now?
Yeah.
You know, and then the closer you get to that deadline.
I think it would need to be cut and dried. I think you would need to be able to look at the standings, look at the roster and go.
No question.
Nope. Yeah.
This ain't working.
Right. Last one. Do you think Orpik gets bought out next offseason?
Next offseason.
I think there's more of a chance of it next offseason.
I think it depends who's on the blue line.
Yeah.
I think it depends.
There are a lot of variables.
Who's on the team, who he needs to help develop, where they need his leadership, and how much money they have.
Yep.
Yeah. If they start
That's hard to predict.
If they start that rebuild early, there won't be much point because what are you saving cap space for?
Right.
Right.
So I think there's a lot. There's a lot that has to happen for that to happen, considering what he still means to Brian McClellan and the team. But definitely more possible next year than it was this year, just by nature of him being 1 year older. Thank you for your question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one from Eddie, Caps fan from
What's up,
Europe.
Eddie?
Europe, nice.
Where in Europe? Does it say?
It says Caps fan from Europe.
Oh.
So somewhere over there.
Cool.
Hey, Caps team.
I like Europe.
I have a question. Tarek is pro Europe.
My wife's from Belfast.
All right. Hey, Caps team. I have a question. Now that a team will have to fight more just to be in the playoffs, will it have a good impact in the near future on the heart of the team in that seems to be lacking when it counts. I'm basically speaking about the new core of the team. So basically, will this team benefit by having to fight its way into the playoffs rather than breeze through the regular season?
I can buy that.
Yeah.
I
would buy that, except for the fact, yes and no. The no part is they kind of had to do that where they had to fight a little bit for a brief stretch of time for the division.
Right.
And they said, you know, this is great.
Yeah, that's right.
It helps.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then we hit Toronto and it was, oh my gosh, our pants are on fire. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I can buy that. I'm not sure.
It seems right.
Yeah, it logically seems to follow. You know, it seems
but
to follow logically.
We kind of saw it, and it kind of still didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm done with making those projections, because every year we look at the benefits of how they've gone through the regular season. Oh, under Dale Hunter, they had to struggle to make the playoffs. Will they be better off for it? And yeah, they beat Boston, but they lost in the second round. And then you see the opposite of, well, they made it through the regular season. Now they can rest all their players. They don't have to go pedal to the metal.
Right.
They can be rested.
By the
and then
way,
it doesn't happen.
Speaking of Dale Hunter, the best GIF in the history of hockey GIFs
bad
is the one where Dale Hunter, Jeepers Rink just used it recently.
Yeah.
I think after Jarl Johansson got traded.
Oh,
the one where he's just shaking his head and rolling his eyes.
That
makes me cry with laughter every time I see it.
That was a fun 10 months or so.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I loved those playoffs, though.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I loved it.
Jim Dean with an interesting question. Would the Capitals have been better off in the longer term had they decided to let TJ Oshie walk in free agency and kept Marcus Johansson?
No.
Stats over 3 years are relatively close to even in total points, and Marcus is a better skater and 5 years younger. TJ may have been a better overall game, but I think that 3 years down the road, keeping Mojo makes better sense.
I think TJ has more of a team impact and drawing other players in and attracting other players to the team, which to me is a big deal.
I asked myself that question.
And fans.
I know you're coming from Jill. I actually thought to myself after Johansson left, I was like, what if they didn't sign Oshie and they kept Johansson and they used that money to go get a defenseman and a winger, you know, use that money, the $5.75 million cap hit, and split that over a winger and a defenseman. And I almost talked myself into it. And then I think I fell asleep and I forgot. I didn't have the rest of the thought. But that was a thought I had. I kind of could see the argument for keeping Johansson and using that Oshie money somewhere else.
Yeah. From a logical standpoint, absolutely. But you have to take into consideration, this fan base would have freaked out. Everyone out there, would you not have freaked out if they didn't sign Oshie and Schmidt left? And it was like, then it would have been really sad trombone.
Yeah. I mean, JJ hates the 8-year contract.
I was about to say, am I the only outlier here who thinks that would have been a great idea?
That's because it's logical, but it's
three
but,
or four years of a
logical,
terrible
it's
contract.
Emotional. Sports is emotional. Sometimes you have to go with the emotion.
Here's the way I think of that. I mean, and we've had this argument like on 4 podcasts at this point, but you just can't look at years 6, 7, and 8 of that deal. Mm-hmm. Once Ovechkin's out of contract and Backstrom's out of contract, if they haven't won a cup with those two guys, it's all going to be different anyway.
Yeah.
It's all going to be different. I'll be covering the Wizards. You'll be covering the Redskins. Like, there'll be different people. I mean, it'll just be a totally different deal if a cup does not happen during the Ovechkin era. And that's assuming that he gets another contract after this one. And I'm not sure you can guarantee that at this point. I mean, he's got 4 years left. You know, he's going to be 32 years old at the start of this season. Maybe there's another extension out there. We don't know. I mean, so I can't get that riled up about year 6, 7, and 8 of Oshie's deal. I mean, could it be an albatross? Could that be a problem down the road? If they add a 32nd team, the cap's going to continue to go up. It's going to be a smaller percentage of the cap than it is right now. I can't get that worked up about it. I know it sounds like I'm kind of worked up about it, but I'm really not.
Capitals absolutely would have been better off keeping Marcus Johansson over TJ Oshie. And I love TJ Oshie. He's a great player, but that contract is a terrible contract. He had the best shooting percentage of his career, I believe, last season. His production will go down in
because
year one.
Good.
His production will go down in year one and will continue to tail off to the point where everyone is wondering, why did they give him 8 years?
Disagree. So, and also, if he didn't sign, you would have been 3 for 3 on podcast guests who leave the Caps. So
that is true. That is true.
Oh, my God.
It would have been, nobody would come on here because it would be the kiss of death.
That's what I'm saying. And you know hockey players are superstitious.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they are.
So
that's funny.
One more question. This is from Empty Maybe. That's the line there. Between Shorney, Juice, Siegenthaler, Hobbs, Bowie, Ness, and Lewington, you have 2 top 6 spots to fill and a 7th D. Who do you take?
I would add Johansson in there. I just like him personally pulling for Lucas Johansson. I just want to see that. So there's my pick.
Jill went with E, other.
Yes.
Can you repeat the question? I was distracted for a moment.
Oh, my gosh.
He was ordering his Taco Bell online.
It is Latin-based.
Yes.
Do you need me to use it in a sentence?
No.
Between Shorney, Juice, Siegenthaler, Hobbs, Bowie, Ness, and Lewington, you have 2 top 6 spots to fill and a 7th D. Who do you take?
The guys who don't have to go through waivers.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So
see,
you're not taking...
Oh, no, no. The guys who have to go through waivers, you got to keep those guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Christian Juice has to pass through waivers this year. One reason why I think he's going to be on the Capitals roster.
That may be the only reason, but he will be. I mean, that right there. He's a guy who was the 3rd leading scorer among defensemen in the AHL last year. The 2 guys that scored more, had more points than him, were both like 30 years old. So they're career AHL guys. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
He's not passing through waivers. He's going to be on this team.
He would
year.
Be taken. Mm.
So I think Madison Bowie and Christian Jews would be my 1 and my 2. I think Johansson is going to show very well in camp. He's put on about 10 pounds. He's a little tougher. He's a little stronger. He's got more skill than anyone in that group. Why he's a 1st-round draft pick, but he's pretty easy to flush to the minors. There's no waivers required.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got no pro experience.
Yep.
Why rush him? You know, I mean, this you aren't in a situation.
It's fun.
just like Siegenthaler. Just like I would like to see him. I would like to see Johansson, Siegenthaler, get a lot of playing, and Hobbs get a lot of playing time in Hershey next year, and then let's reevaluate a year from now.
Yeah.
And I think one of those 3 guys is going to be able to make the jump again. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Juice and Bowie pan out and establish themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll have 3 young players in your 6, and you know, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah. Right off the bat, you have to keep Chorney in that top 7. He may be your 7th, but you can't have 2 guys in your top 6 and then your extra guy be another young prospect. Mm-hmm. I think that's
start the season we could see Chorney and Carlson.
You're talking me into this, Joe.
3 and 4.
You're talking me into this.
We could see that.
That wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. No.
Why not?
You're right. They have to have Juice in there. Siegenthaler, I want to see in Hershey. I want to see him adjust to the North American game. I want to see Hobbs adjust to the AHL before I even think about the NHL.
He's a good cartoonist.
Is he? Oh,
yeah.
I mean.
Wow, sorry.
Boo!
Same thing goes for Johansson. Lewington would have been a good fit for the NHL 20 years ago. I don't know exactly what his ceiling would be today. Ness, I think, is a good guy if you need it. He's got some wheels. Good player, but not someone that they're going to build a future around. So I would go with Bowie, Juice, and Chorney as my number 7. So in one of those rare occasions where Tark is correct.
Wow.
Because he agreed with me.
Wow.
You like
Check
that?
Check it out. Weak. That's how Harry Potter rolls.
Yeah, that's right.
With his
Gryffindor forever.
Gryffindor.
Thank you for your questions. If you want to have your questions read and answered on the next pod, send your questions to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com.
And if you praise us first, apparently, according to JJ, you would definitely get read.
Absolutely. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere podcasts are available. and be sure to give us a good rating and review. It really does help spread the word about the show. Good show, guys. After the holiday break, we're going to have to think of things to talk about for the rest of the summer.
Hey, something, you know what? Something else is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be small things.
There will be small things that we will turn into a half-hour podcast.
Yeah. Maybe one of
Liam O'Brien resigning.
Yeah, Liam O'Brien.
Tarek, talk to me.
Mitchell resigned.
Give me your best 20-minute breakdown of the Liam O'Brien signing. No. Anyway, guys.
Let's talk about our vacations.
We will.
Yeah, mine's coming up, baby.
Guys, enjoy the week. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Thank you to Tarek, Jill. Now let's get the puck out of here.